U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has gotten the reputation of being ahead of other agencies when it comes to IT development and using agile processes. USCIS is adding to its lead by testing out the next phase of agile development. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins me now with how the agency is advancing its use of agile and DevOps to improve its services. Jason, how is it doing this and what's coming next?
As you said, Tom, the USCIS has been using Agile Development Services for several years now, really to address some long-standing IT problems. But what Mark Schwartz, the USCIS Chief Information Officer, is doing now is something called impact mapping. Now, he describes how this process works for an actual CIS case called their verification system.
In this impact mapping exercise, what they do is they start with that goal. Let's increase the 70 cases per day to a higher number so that we can scale. And they draw sort of a mind map of different ways that they could maybe accomplish that goal. So here you have an empowered team. They've been told, increase the number of cases that a verifier can do in one day. And they map out, with that as the goal, here are the behaviors that would need to change in the agency and who has those behaviors. And then they map out for each of those behavior changes what IT capabilities could be offered that might accomplish those behavior changes. And then they take each of those capabilities and they think about it and they say, if we were to do this, if we were to provide this capability, we think it would increase the number of cases per day by X amount, whatever the X is. Now, they don't really know, right? This is just a hypothesis. They think if they do this, it'll increase it by this much, and if they do this other thing, it'll increase it by this much, and this is all at the level of capabilities so far. There are no requirements here.
Now, that's Mark Schwartz, the USCIS Chief Information Officer. He was speaking yesterday at the ATARC DevOps Summit. He says once the governance approval happens, so yes, go forward with this, Schwartz says the Agile Sprint begins.
So the team starts working. They start developing software. They have on the team, they have some programmers, and they sit down with some users of the system. They work together, and as the programmers finish each of the pieces of functionality, they push a button, and actually what they do is they type commit. And when they do that, the work that they've done gets automatically tested through a whole series of automated tests, and automatically deployed into the cloud and infrastructure provisioned immediately. Okay, so in the first hour of the developers working, they are already deploying to a production environment that is in the cloud and that just miraculously appeared. And as they do that, people can start using it. So the users, let's say at this point, start playing around with it. Remember, this is just hours after starting the program. They start playing around with it. They give feedback. The programmers make changes, and every time they make an adjustment, they hit the little commit button. Automatic tests are run. In fact, going forward, every time they make a change to the system, they hit commit, the entire system rebuilds itself. It runs all of the automated tests, including the regression tests, to make sure they didn't break anything new. It also automatically runs security tests, and it runs Section 508 compliance tests. It runs code quality scans to validate the adherence to standards, complexity measures, code coverage, and things like that, and automatically deploys the change to production as many times a day as the developers feel like it would be appropriate to deploy.
So again, Mark Schwartz, the USCIS Chief Information Officer, talking about a new agile process called impact mapping. Tom, now the idea behind this, you heard him talk about the sprints are short, the governance bodies made up of the stakeholders, the business owners, the IT folks. There's changes made on the fly based on user experience. And when something isn't working, they change it, they stop it. Then when something is working, they deploy it as quickly as possible. Schwartz says USCIS is piloting this approach with one project under its verification modernization system. And then it's also using government IT projects where, you know, the agency, you know, spent 4 years developing, documenting requirements and never did anything. 4 years just to do that.
Like having a schedule meeting to schedule the schedule.
Exactly. And he goes, by switching to this impact mapping, this DevOps approach, in the first 6 weeks, they delivered a product that's now being currently used by citizens and other customers, and the new service is in the cloud. So 4 years of planning turned into 6 weeks of actually of delivering something usable. Yeah. He says using this, he talked about this before, Tom, something called the strangler approach. Where do you get money for this? Well, he strangles the legacy to to pay for the new system. So each of these is bit by bit, piece by piece. You redevelop it, you take the money, you make sure it's interoperable, and then you move on to the next piece. It's a fascinating idea that he believes really could impact government and more broadly.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So if USCIS, Jason, is out in front using Agile, where is everybody else in the federal government?
Yeah, a lot of agencies feel like they're way behind USCIS in many ways. I mean, there are definitely some pockets of innovation, some Agile of goodness. You know, Patent and Trademark Office is one, organizations such as 18F at GSA or the U.S. Digital Service. But most agencies really are just in the beginning stages. Take the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Chris Brown, the NRC's Master Data Management Program Manager, says her agency almost was forced into moving to an Agile development process.
We received a report that two major pieces were going to be delayed 4 and 7 months, and we couldn't live with that delay. So I actually reached out to my friends at 18F, Jay Hughes in the audience today, brought Jay in to have some conversations. And as a result of that effort, we actually did two DevOps pilots, and we were very successful in moving projects forward. As a result of that, we realized that the DevOps needed to be a part of the culture. And we are working to codify the use of DevOps through an internal project management tool that we have so that we can continually have that reference. So it hasn't been easy. This is a huge cultural change that we have just started.
So I think what's key here is from Chris Brown of NRC is they're codifying the DevOps process through an internal project management tool. That's a way it's easier for others in NRC to repeat and understand what's going on. Another good example is over at the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. Ann Duncan, the CIO, says her agency's moving to DevOps is focusing on really letting others, including 18F through its cloud.gov platform, do what she calls the heavy lifting on the development side. So her staff really can focus on the business side or to ensure continuous improvements in the business processes. And as we know, Tom, you had Ann on just about a week and a half ago talking about EPA's new contract for Agile services. I'm hearing from industry that that final solicitation could be out as early as mid to early September.
All right. So everything you've said seems to reinforce the old idea that we've heard that this requires cultural change in agencies to be able to be agile. And is this what you're seeing?
Absolutely. I think, you know, this starts with people and understanding of risk. Now, again, Ann Duncan, the EPA CIO, says agencies were fooled into thinking this waterfall approach, you know, figure out all your requirements, spend the big money in the front end, and watch the water fall down. It was low risk. But really, no one really knows what they want in the first place, and they can't ever get build what they want in the second place. She says Agile really does require a new way of thinking.
There's no solution without risk. But that we believe, the EPA and a lot of people believe, it reduces risk by constantly interacting, right? You're constantly interacting with your vendor or your development team, depending upon how you're doing the work. You're constantly able to change who's doing the work for you, right? We're talking about buying in our Agile vehicle relatively short groups of sprints. So we might buy 3 months worth of work, for example. If that vendor's not performing for me, 3 months I'm changing them out and using another vendor. And because I'm the product manager internally, I don't lose anything by swapping out my vendor. So having that control and having that daily visibility as to what's going on. So my EPA employee is in the meeting every day in the morning to understand what's going on every day. So that level of visibility, I think, reduces risk tremendously. It doesn't eliminate it completely, but I think you're taking on different kinds of risks than you were before.
Now, this also means changes to the workforce. You have to have the right skills. You have to have, and for EPA's perspective, Tom, they were their own systems integrator. So even if you got rid of a vendor, you still understood the intricacies of the project. The other part of the workforce I think is important is the communication and collaboration. Both NRC's Brown, USCIS's Short says, you got to just have people who understand how to talk together, how to work together, and that everybody is as important as everybody else from a security perspective, from an HR, from an acquisition, so on and so forth. And I think that's really the big key. Tom, you and I have been covering this now for, you know, 20 plus years. We know culture is always the hardest one. It's never the technology. I'm starting to see a little bit of a difference with Agile than we've seen maybe with other technologies where the culture change maybe is happening.
All right. So the elephant is starting to dance a little bit, perhaps, is the best way to put it.
That's always a good one.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
My pleasure.
You can read his story and also listen to this interview again, share it with colleagues, go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.